Welcome to Drive Through HR, the internet's number one HR talk show, coming to you every day on the internet, mostly on time. I am one of the co-hosts of the show, Crystal Miller. We also have Nisha, Michael, and William, who Tim Cup, who everyone knows, and those are our co-hosts. Today, though, we have a fabulous guest in Kevin Grossman. Hello, Kevin Grossman.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Just fine. Thank you for having me on, Crystal. A pleasure.
Well, the pleasure is ours. So you've had some change, which means new introductions are probably needed. Kevin, I know a lot of people know you, but let's assume that there's somebody out there in Radioland who does not. Could you tell us a little bit about you?
I would love to do that. I do want to quickly notate, I want to give all of you kudos at Drive Through HR because I know how much work goes into doing one of these shows, one of these radio shows, and you do it every single day. And I only do it once a week. So my goodness, blessings and kudos to you for doing this every day. And it's really important for the industry as well. So enough about that. Who am I? Who is this guy, Kevin Grossman? So I've been in the HR recruiting technology space for over 16 years. Primarily on the vendor marketing side, did a little bit of a time early on in my career as a recruiter and a sourcer, and then been in marketing ever since, various leadership roles over time. Fast forward to today, most recently I was with PeopleFluent, talent management software company, and now I'm very excited to be a part of the Talent Board, which again is the nonprofit organization and the creators of the Candidate Experience Awards, which I know we're going to talk a lot about today, that are coming up next week, our big conference next week in the symposium. So I came on board to really help grow and scale the Talent Board and the Candies globally and elevate that message.
That's awesome. So, you know, you've been in the space for a while. Do T-Chat. Did you talk about T-Chat yet? I didn't think I heard that, but maybe.
I didn't. I didn't bring it up, but I was going to when we get to it. Yeah, absolutely.
Right on. So since I kind of put the cat out of the bag, you want to talk about T-Chat?
Sure. So, and Krista, you know, you were actually helped us a few years ago on T-Chat when we were early on with the training wheels. So for those at home that don't know what Talent Culture T-Chat show is, it's a weekly radio show about all things world of work. So HR recruiting, various workplace topics that we tackle every week on Wednesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. It's a part radio show, part Twitter chat, which is really how we started coming up on 6 years ago. Cannot believe that we're doing this 6 years later.
Awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, it's exciting. It's fun. And, you know, love doing this in the space with you and, of course, HR Happy Hour that's still on, that Steve does pre-recorded now, and some just really great, I think, great content for our industry and for the professionals that consume it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to me, right? Like Lars Schmidt put on his Facebook yesterday, and where do you go to learn, right? And so I kind of think through, so where do you go to learn? What are your resources for professional development in our space? That's kind of interesting, right? Because there's so many of them in some ways, and then there's not that many of them in others. When you think like the vast number of marketing resources that there are, there's tons, right?
Right.
I don't know about finance and other stuff, but I really just pay attention to marketing and HR. So I know that there's a lot of marketing resources. And when I look at the number of HR resources and compare it to the number of marketing resources, like it feels a little thin. You know, I'm glad that there's some diversity in podcast shows and things like that, you know, that are out there. And it's hard. So you see a lot of people start something and then end something almost just as quickly.
Definitely. Well, you know, and here's the thing too, right? Because this is live. I mean, everybody, we're moving to a world now where that's already been there for a long time. We all know this. It's an on-demand world, right? I want to consume what I want when I want to consume it. Period, right? So yes, there's an audience that you have every day that's live. We have an audience once a week that's live that will come and listen and play on Twitter with us every week. But it also is a podcast, right? And that's really the long tail of it because the individuals that are subscribing to these feeds and these podcast subscriptions, they'll listen to it when they want. And that's great. That's the way that we consume today. I mean, there's tons of podcasts that I listen to, many that are outside of the space, but they all kind of reflect on one another. Speaking of resources that, you know, that I like, I'm kind of an econ junkie myself too. So I like things on economics and global finance and very exciting topics, but you know, all it's fun, but that's the way we consume. We consume again on demand. And I think that's important. That's why, I mean, we get, when it's talk about marketing again, I don't want to get too much of a into the grass and segue on different things, but webinars, for example, and I'm sure you'd concur, Crystal, that there it's kind of a dying art because people just, they're not participating live anymore.
It really is. I mean, I'm working on that now with a client that it's funny to me and kind of scary at the same time.
It is.
Webinars, I mean, we know how to do that, right? Like, that makes sense. You get somebody to talk, you do it for an hour, that's great. But really, at this point, you know, like, one of the things I was talking about is we're not really as worried about live attendees as we are about the number of on-demand downloads up and back.
Right.
But that's a shift. That's a huge shift. How long do you track that? And are, you know, do we do it like TV where they look at the number of views and watches that happen within, I think it's 48 or 72 hours after the original broadcast time, and anything after that doesn't count? Or, you know, is it reporting in perpetuity? I kind of freak out. But I think, that, I mean, bringing it back to the show, I think there's like the success there comes in the experience of whatever it is that we're consuming. The art of failure there is knowing what you need to stick on and what you don't. I think the fail for a lot of us right now, or the fail that we've either experienced or are experiencing as audience, is that there's still a lot of companies that feel like, no, I need to be able to control your time instead of control, you know, not control your thoughts. That sounds bad and very Terminator-esque. But
1984, right, exactly.
Yeah, instead of being able to have some sort of relationship with you and focus on the relationship and the interaction, I want to control your calendar. And that's a fail. And it's very, very common, I think, in the recruiting experience and the candidate experience, which comes back to some of the stuff that you're working on now. So, you know, how big of a deal is it? How much should we demand from candidates in terms of the candidate experience? How much do we get to determine how they spend their time? How much control should we have over the calendar?
That's a great segue, because think about the fact that for the longest time, pre-internet especially, but even early internet, and still today, we just hit it on the head. Organizations, companies, entities are really still trying to maximize one's attention, and they want to control the message, right? But today, more than ever before, candidates, most job seekers in general, have the ability to do just as much, if not more, research on the organizations that they're interested in than the organizations can do on them. I mean, it's out there. And that's in fact, this year, and I'll throw out some data nuggets throughout the show, if that's okay, from the latest.
Totally.
Yeah, because we just started diving in. So for those, just real quick, to kind of give a baseline reset, just again, for those who are still going, what's the Candidate Experience Awards? So every year, this is the fourth year of the program, we ask employers to fill out a survey about their recruiting processes and what, from job posting all the way through onboarding, and they fill this survey out. They can access that data themselves. They can stop at that point. That's phase one. If they want to keep going to phase two, then they turn a similar but same survey around to their candidates that have applied for jobs at their organization, regardless if they were hired or not. There needs to be a certain percentage mix of those hired versus those dispositioned and not hired. But without getting into the grass too much about that, they then submit that survey to those candidates, and those candidates answer those questions. And then we run it through our magic secret sauce algorithms and crunch the numbers, and myself being more involved in it, Jerry Crispin, of course, and Elaine Orler and Ed Newman and others among the council members as well, really then go through the data and then come up with those that are exceeding a certain benchmark of better candidate experience and those that aren't. And those individuals that are, we pick the top 50 starting this year, at least, that we're considered, they win an award. So they're not really competing with one another. they're winning award based on, again, industry average, and then anybody below that can still get all access to all their data. But of course, we don't go public with that; everything's anonymous. But
you know, the thing is, you almost kind of compete against. I'm going to hop in for a second because I do think there's a competition that we don't ever really talk about, but for multiple candy. Your participants, so multiple year participants of the Candy Awards, they end up competing against themselves, right? And Capital One, remember them talking about this at Social Recruiting Strategies Conference. They really talked about trying to beat their own candy score from the year before. And I think that's so awesome, right? You can provide this benchmark and this of your journey, your candidate experience journey.
RMS, Amelia from RMS is the head of HR talent acquisition. They're same thing. That they Amelia Merrill is her name. They do it's the same thing. So yes, for multi-year winners, it becomes this mantra internally that we are going to continue to elevate and improve candidate experience, and we're going to continue to win. And that's exciting because that's what we want to see too, right? We want to see that spread. And now we're exceeding nearly 200 companies that are participating when it was less than. I don't know, was it 20, less than 50, 20, 30, 40, 50 the first year? So it's really dramatically grown. But what's even more dramatic is just the number of candidate responses, Crystal. So this year alone, and just in North America, there's 130,000 candidate responses. I mean, this is a 35 to 45 minute survey that these folks fill out, most of which have never been hired for those companies that they're filling it out for, right? That's a big deal. And they're actually taking the time to do that. And last year it was 95,000, and it's gone up, of course, since the first year. That gets me jazzed. That's exciting. That's a huge data set that we've just begun to dive into.
God, that is a lot of data. And I know we're going to be talking about the data angle with it, or everything that goes into the data science behind the candies and why that's important for companies.
Yes.
Later this week with Jerry Crispin and Andrew Gadomski, so it'll be exciting. But when you look at the amount of time it takes to fill this out, like I'm hard-pressed to fill out a 5 to 10 minute survey because I just don't have time to deal with it, right? So sure. I'm busy. I assume candidates are too. How much time are they investing into the survey?
Well, again, it's anywhere from 35 to 45 minutes on the average. I mean, some I'm sure can go through it quicker than that, but others may take a little bit longer. But that's the average length of time. One nugget that I wanted to quickly connect the dot to, though, was when we were talking about candidates being able to research other companies. The majority of candidates in this year's survey, and this is historically the case of the previous year's data, too, but I just think it's important to note 76% of these candidates are doing their own research, and a good majority of those are spending at least 2+ hours on their research. I mean, so this isn't just a quick, like, let me look for a job and throw a dart. I mean, these are folks that are investing lots of time. They're not being contacted by recruiters. I mean, again, we're talking about a lot of different kinds of positions, right? Across, multinational companies, large, mid-sized companies, but they're investing the time to do this. A majority of them are doing this on their own, and they can't. I think that's really exciting. I know, for me at least, since I've been there.
It is exciting. It is exciting, but I do think that speaks to the depth. It's really easy for us to, and I say us generically, right? It's easy for organizations to be a little bit blasé about how much impact they really have upon the people that they choose not to hire, which when you think about it is like 99% of them, right? And I think that's a fail. And I think that the data here, 130,000 people that have taken 35 to 45 minutes out of their lives, to fill this survey out to explain how these practices, how they were treated during the process, like that says something.
It does.
That says a lot, actually. And maybe what it says is that we're missing the mark or not.
Well,
I don't know.
I agree with you. I think that there's still a lot of opportunity out there. I mean, here's my thing. My thing has always been that there's a minimum of two things that companies around the world should be doing when it comes to recruiting and hiring today. Two things minimally for the candidate experience. That's acknowledgement. Acknowledge the fact that I've applied for something at your company. So even if that, again, most of the time these days, at least it's an automated message, but it's something. And then the second thing is give me closure, right? I mean, tell me whether or not I'm either moving along or I'm done. Don't let me fall into the black hole. Those minimum two things. Everybody else that's won a candy for the past 4 years is completely exceeding those two things. And unfortunately, there's a whole bunch of organizations underneath that, because we're talking about 200, even those that didn't win, have elevated their experience that participated, right? And so there's still, you know, thousands of companies, hundreds and thousands of companies of various sizes that aren't hitting those two things, or at least they're not participating in our research so that we can actually, you know, help to do that. That's why we encourage companies. They don't have to be public about this. They can still get a benchmark data for their own internal purposes so they can start working on their own experiences across their recruiting process. Anyway, I get on that soapbox, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally fair. That kind of made me think about, we do a lot of analogies in recruiting about how recruiting is like dating, right? So,
right.
And maybe that's more on the agency search side, but I mean, there's a lot of it, right?
Sure.
So that analogy gets made, and I guess to your point, like, that people don't want to be left in a black hole. They want to have closure. We do a really poor job of breaking up with our candidates.
Yes, still today.
And, yeah, no doubt. But hopefully the candies will help over time change that, how we look at that and what we should be doing with it. But to that end, I mean, if breaking up properly with candidates is one of the things that the Candy Awards winners do well, how are they doing it? Like, what are things that companies should be looking at to pivot from, okay, we're failing at how we disposition candidates, to we're succeeding in how we treat them, and it makes us a positive experience for the candidates that look to work with us? What do they need to do?
Well, there's a variety of things they can do. I mean, I know I think this is a really important exercise. It's something that Elaine, Jerry, and Ed and others have started the past couple of years, based on called candidate resentment, and how that, and trying to monetize that, and how that can turn into lost revenue for an organization. HireRight, who's one of longtime sponsors for the candies as well, so I'll give them a shout out and a plug, but they created this calculator. Again, people can argue the validity of this kind of a tool and a measurement, but it gets you thinking when you actually go through the process and think to yourself, okay, these are how many applicants I'm getting every year. These are the number, only the number that I'm hiring out of that. And then you start doing this different kind of a little bit of math, and you can go, actually, if you search on HireRight, you can find the candidate resentment survey. But anyway, the number that it ends up giving you is that, listen, if you are ticking off candidates, you're not completing that process, you're not giving them closure, you're those that are going to walk away and talk about both good and bad experiences, and they do, because 33%, according to the latest data, will share their negative stories publicly, shout from the rooftops. And, you know, when you start looking at 33% of those out of 130,000, just out of that data set, that's a lot of folks. Anyway, they can actually measure, you can kind of project that if these individuals, again, calling out those that are just mad because they didn't get hired, right? There's always that emotive issue that you're going to have to deal with. But individuals that have a horrible experience, they were sitting at interviews that were canceled, or they had to wait in the waiting room for an hour, or the hiring managers didn't get back to them, whatever the case is, and they were led to believe something and then something else happened, they will not be your customer, right? I mean, Elaine tells that story about her husband all the time. I've been there as well, where there are certain brands that, I mean, again, I'm not going to call anybody out on the show, but I will never do business with because of my experience that I had. I just won't. And so it happens, right? So when you start adding that up and you project how many of these individuals that are not going to be my customer at some point and actually buy stuff from me or do anything else or negatively talk about me online, I mean, that is potentially impactful lost revenue to the bottom line. Again, how much that is, that can be conjecture, but it's there, it's real, and we're trying to quantify that now as we move forward with the candies, which I think is important for organizations to consider. So.
Oh, totally. I mean, think about it. It's really just playing off marketing principles. And I say this a lot, maybe ad nauseum, but a lot of the things that we do in recruiting has a practice that can be taken from marketing and calculators and all those things. So there is absolutely candidate acquisition calculators that you can use to be able to predict the value of the candidates that you're trying to acquire and attract to your company.
Exactly.
As well as the potential loss that your company faces by turning these candidates off. So I think Hire Rights Calculator is awesome. I just tweeted it out to the drive-through HR community.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk a little bit about the candidate symposium. The second one's coming up. Been live 10 days ish. Is that right?
Yes.
Is it year two?
I would love to talk a little bit about it. Thank you, Crystal. So it's coming up, and yes, especially for any local practitioners that are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you're interested in going, you can go online to the candy-events.org or just search for Candidate Experience Symposium when you get it. It's starting on September 30th, where we've got some great pre-conference workshops in the early afternoon. Crystal is part of that, and many others from the Candy Council, who are the volunteers, who are really kind of the lifeblood as well of this program, which, again, thank you for that. So we've got some pre-conference workshops on the 30th. We have an opening reception on the night of the 30th, and then the full-blown conference day itself on October 1st, which is just chock full of great events. Keynote speakers, Molly Fletcher, who's kind of known as the female Jerry Maguire in the sports management world, the sports agent world. We've got Heath Padgett, who's another keynote speaker, who is that individual, for those that haven't heard of him, he's the guy who took his wife on their honeymoon and they drove across the United States in a motorhome while she filmed, and he was applying for hourly jobs in every single state. So it's called Hourly America. It's actually a documentary that's going to come out next year. I'm really lucky to have him speak about that experience, and he's going to tell some really, really interesting stories to the audience. And then, of course, just a wonderful, beloved, smart person in our space, China Gorman, will be the last keynote on the second day, which is a half-day program on October 2nd. And China is always a delight to listen to, and lots of insight from there as well. So then that alone is just, those are just the keynotes. And you get a lot of previous Candy winners are going to speak as panelists. They're going to share their experience and their stories and what they've done at their organizations to, again, elevate candidate experience. From a business perspective too, you know, not just from a touchy-feely, this is something good, you know, good feeling thing we should do, that this is just smart business as well. So that's going to be exciting. And there's still time to register and come. So you can reach out to me directly or go to the site and you know, we hope to see you there in Fort Worth at the Hilton in starting next week. What else can I answer about the show or the event?
Well, so this is year two. What takeaways did y'all have from last year?
Great question. So probably the takeaways that we had from last year, the ones that are going to be similar to this year, and just primarily of the fact that this is a great opportunity to see how different organizations are doing it at their organizations. And again, that was a little redundant. But I think, you know, one of the things is that the change management can happen in this regard. I mean, I know that, I'm sure you have as well, how many talent acquisition folks that I've talked to that just, you know, think that they just can't make those changes internally, right? The process, the leadership issue. This is the way we've always done it. We're getting the butts in the seats. We got lots of recs we got to fill. I'm running, you know, understaffed, all those things. But these are organizations that are doing it and have been doing it. And the new top 50 will be announced the night of the first. But, they're sharing those insights on what they're doing at their organizations, whether they're just embedding. I mean, there's organizations such as Capital One, for example, previous winner, that they actually have a mandatory candidate experience workshop for every new talent acquisition team member that comes on board. Whether they're a contractor, perm, or part-time, they have to go through this workshop in person. Done. I mean, this is something that they've instituted, and they reap the benefits of it. So that's one really, I think, shining example. And there's many, many more of those that have come out of last year's event as well as will come out of this year's too.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got a few minutes left.
Okay.
What else do you want to cover? If it's like, I always kind of think that there's 2 to 3 things that people come on the show and think, if people hear nothing else but this, I will be happy. So what are those nothing else buts that you want to make sure everybody knows?
Well, I think what I want to make sure everybody understands is that the Talent Board Candidate Experience Awards is still at its very heart a research organization. Yes, we give away these awards every year for the companies that have done the best job across the board. And again, it's across all the touch points of the recruiting process through onboarding, which is still, I think, a very much neglected area in organizations. And that's something else that we could even have carve out a whole other show on. But I think that is, at its heart, we're a research organization that is finally maturing and getting to a point where we can start doing comparative analysis from year to year and really be the place to go on all things candidate experience. So that's the one thing I want to leave with everybody as well.
Okay, fantastic. So where do they go to get all of the information?
Talentmore.org is your master site for all things talent board and candidate experience related information about them. You can download the previous reports. This year's report, we've only just begun to dive into the data, so you'll be able to get that one early next year, but you can get all the previous reports and lots of other great content in and around candidate experience on the talent board site. And that's where I recommend going first and foremost. And again, if you're in, again, local to the Fort Worth, Dallas area, and there's still time for you to come to the event next week. So.
Oh, yeah, and you should, because it's fantastic, and Fort Worth is a lot of fun. I'm not biased at all. It's not where I grew up. It's not my hometown. No, no.
See, there you go. It'll be tons of fun. So, so we're just really excited. Really excited to announce this year's winners the night of the 1st at the big gala event at the Candy. So that'll be really exciting, and just looking forward to it. But, yeah, again, I think that there's the mission of the Talent Board continues to grow globally. And now EMEA is a program that's maturing. We've just launched the first year in APAC region and then Latin America as well. We're going to launch this next year. So it's pretty exciting.
Gosh, that is so cool. I am so, so glad that you joined us today. I'd like to run through some of the candidate experience guests that were and things we have coming up over the next week leading up to the conference, because it is kind of like the Candies Week on Drive-Thru HR, which I think is pretty cool. So you joined us today. Thank you so much. For anyone who missed yesterday, Bill Borman came on like just over 5 years ago. He was on Drive-Thru HR talking about candidate experience, so it was neat to have him back to kick off this week. Tomorrow we have one of the Candies Awards judges, Dwayne Lay. Nobody ever hears him on this program. Sorry, that's kind of a joke because he's on this program like all the time. But he'll be on again tomorrow with Talent Board member Denny Orvec. So I'm very excited to hear from Denny, who is retiring this year, yes?
Yes, that's we're doing a that's kind of let the cat out of the bag, but that's okay. No, it's okay. We've already been telling folks. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. No, it's fine. Yeah, Denny is riding off into the sunset, and I'm riding into the sunset, whatever that means. I just hope I don't catch on fire. Although I do want to catch on fire, right? Hey, by the way, real quick, to connect another quick dot, you got to tell that Dwayne guy to get a job. All right, that's really the bottom line. If he's just hanging out doing the radio show with you, come on.
I know, right? Like, he has nothing else to do. I'm sure his boss really loves it.
Exactly. But,
actually, Steven's really cool, and so that's great. But so tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit about the judgment process and judgment. That sounds so harsh. But how these things get judged, and Denny will be there, which will be fantastic. Hoping to be able to talk with the past candy winner on the 24th. That's going to be a surprise.
Still working on it.
You guys will have,
still working on it.
Tune in to find out who.
Yep.
And then on the 25th, we have Andrew Godomsky talking data and candidate experience with Jerry Crispin. I will be the first to take full responsibility for calling Jerry Crispin the godfather of candidate experience and Andrew Godomsky the Mac Daddy of data. So, like, this should be fun. Monday, another candidate experience company, and Tuesday we'll be talking with Elaine, right, I guess, on the eve of the conference, so that's exciting.
Yep.
Lots and lots of candidate experience ahead. So, all of that to say, listeners, if you have anything that you would like to know, anything you want to understand about candidate experience or the Candies, please feel free to tweet to either hashtag Candies, C-A-N-D-E-S, and or our hashtag DTHR. So So I think that's what we got today, Kevin. Any parting thoughts?
No, just thank you again. And looking for those that will be coming next week to the Candy Symposium, we'll see you there and look forward to it.
Fantastic. Follow the stream. If for some reason you can't make it, so you can see all of the pictures and fantastic insights. Is that just going to be hashtag candies?
Yeah, sorry. Yes, hashtag the candies.
Hashtag the candies. Okay.
Yeah, that's C-A-N-D-E-S. C-A-N-D-E-S for those keeping score at home. So.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope you have a fabulous afternoon, and we'll see everybody else tomorrow.
You got it. Thanks, Crystal.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye-bye.
Bye.